Real Liberty Media. Mightier than the pen, Radio Liberty Writing is on the air. Interrupting the current neo-uronio, climately changed, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, postulated cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode, BTWRLM492. Remember, this is the most jam-packed minute in radio for two continuous hours. Break free. Remember, being free is not a spectator sport. To get you behind the woodshed. Yep, you have to get responsible. These people aren't going to stop. We're going to see some stuff in the world later on in the broadcast that I keep telling you, reflect on us. You're going to watch the people that are controlling your lives in your own country, enemies foreign, domestic. You can see the model of what they do elsewhere is the how they do it to you. If you haven't seen it, the carnival mirror comes back kind of contorted. You don't recognize it. I weekly come back to try and show you the what it's called the news is the notice telling you what's going on. Long-term things happen. We've got to keep a mind going and watching. Things start interrelating if we can do that. These people that do this, whoever they are, and there's many different theys, seemingly working together somehow, but mostly piggybacking on each other. There's this distance that they put, so you can't see it all working together. Well, at least you look deep enough and you can kind of see you see the connections if you look a little further. But there's an ongoing story that's going on. I've been watching this. I'm not necessarily interested in the political side of this. That's a big fiasco anyway. But what I am interested in is watching how these people that say that they're officials and doing what they're supposed to do and the population relies on it, that it's a misrepresentation, and how we see evidence, more and more evidence, that things aren't what they seem, and it takes a long time to ferret out the truth, and in the meantime, the criminals get away with it, and ultimately, they seem to get away with it, whatever the crime is. Typically, always against us, or we, they call we the people, they say. Breaking, court orders FBI to produce the information it possesses related to Seth Rich's laptop within 14 days. Earlier, U.S. District Judge for the Eastern District of Texas ordered the FBI to produce the information it possesses related to the Seth Rich laptop. To this day, we still don't have any information on Seth Rich's murder. He was shot in the back twice in the early morning near his home. He died later in the hospital. Police recorded the event as a robbery, and yet Rich's phone, wallet, personal items were with him when the police arrived. Some people suspect Rich was the source of the emails that went to WikiLeaks before the 2016 election related to Hillary and her corrupt actions over many years. These emails were ignored by corrupt mainstream media, but were shared by WikiLeaks and on social media at this time. A short time after Seth Rich's death, the Russia collusion story was created. It's also suspected in certain circles that the Russia collusion story was created to keep eyes off Seth Rich's murder. The FBI denied any information or files related to Seth Rich murder, but that was not true, and eventually the information was found. Now, let me interject here on this. Eventually is everyone who had an interest that could jumped in to dig this up. It didn't happen because everyone sat back. Again, this theme that I keep bringing is that we have to be our own liberators in a way, and there has to be. And not just on an opinion, you have to be able to dig in and, like I say, become the investigative journalist in your own cause. Find that thing that you really are hurting about because it's not right, that injustice that just isn't right, and then dig in right there. Don't go wider. This is a story that's kind of can span across the world. It does span across the world. We already talked about WikiLeaks. That's Julian Assange. Why is he in prison? We talk about that. I'll get that in a second. But this doesn't happen to this point on its own. It takes people to find it very interesting enough to attack and focus in on it and don't give up. Persist and persist. Attorney Ty Clevenger is still trying to get the government's record regarding Seth Rich, and it is still almost impossible. Clevenger's efforts have helped uncover records to date, but because the FBI's dishonesty to date, the FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act, requests on Rich, Cleaver wanted to be able to observe the FBI's review in the case. Today, United States Court Judge Amos Mazant ordered the corrupt FBI to quit dodging and finally release the documents that they have on Seth Rich. Moving over back to why this is important globally and other things and the interworkings of the, you know, we can call it deep state, but these are just the failure of the system not being able to clear itself out, and why they might be after the press and why they might be actually being after Assange. You know, if he's been put in solitary confinement, you're not hearing from him. And we see the United States has an undue influence, in my view, on the UK court system, but it's not really undue. They're all working together. These are partners in crime and war crime, ultimately, when we look around. And the beating of the drum is not just a song they play. But WikiLeaks is, and its founder, moving to the next tab here to talk about Julian Assange now, are uniquely positioned to confirm the truth that neither Aaron Rich nor his brother were provided any documents to or received any payments from WikiLeaks or its agents. It reads the most recent filing by Aaron Rich's lawyers, which is a story back when. I want to bring some context to him about why this is more interesting than just some Jewish kid getting shot in the back twice and the cops make a false record. And you want to know about Rich, just go look around. Be careful of the sources, though. I see they're tainted. They're certainly slanted. Again, you almost to see who the players with the government, the CIA, whether they're the CIA or the FBI, are together. You watch the slant. And so you start to identify people this way or organizations by what you don't, by what's not said. As I keep telling you, look, watch the silence if you can. The most recent filing from Aaron Rich, states, however, that despite multiple attempts through various channels over more than a year, Mr. Rich has to date been unable, this is his brother, Aaron Rich, unable to serve a subpoena on WikiLeaks or Mr. Assange, or even confirm an address or agent to whom he was. So this is bringing up again how Julian Assange was in the Ecuadorian embassy when he was, and starts to lay the United Kingdom, and lays the foundation for how Rich may be this pivotal exposure through the email streams. And now someone has got an order from a court to have the FBI disgorge its investigation into this. So long, in so many years. 2016. In August of 2016, Assange gave a TV interview with the Dutch TV program. WikiLeaks had published thousands of stolen DNC emails, throwing the presidential race into chaos and leading to resignations of top officials at the Democratic National Committee, including Chairwoman Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz of Florida, a Democrat. And this is what I'm telling you about. You go down to like Wikipedia, and they're like giving her high praises. And so this is not, she didn't resign for nothing there. And I don't know why you give someone like that high praises where someone didn't dig into this and more. And this is what the investigation starts to become, the government-wide obstruction of justice that likely we'll never see. But the people should be insisting on this injustice because it touches everything we do. It's our communication system. It's how we communicate. It's who does the communicating, why they do the communicating, who might be able to divulge information that's truly harmful. They went after anybody that seems to be a whistleblower. That's what we're kind of talking about here. These are the people, when you look carefully, that almost, if you will, democracy, the people require that see injustice, that the systemic healing system of the policies and the oversight heals up and blocks our knowledge of, that's not right for the government to have. It's not the privilege of the sovereign to do this to the people, and it's how they continue to get away. This is partly why I'm interested in it, not about the politics. I could care less about the Democrats and the Republicans. To me, again, we got a default judgment that says both those parties are committing treason. I don't care who you are. And however they made this Russian story, it's all going to be a setup to cover up what they're doing. And this is what the story seems to be about and how to get at it and the time it takes. I want to tell you, you can't not do something. And then when you do, it's going to take time. So in the Dutch TV interview, Assange demurred on how he obtained the DNC emails, then dropped a tantalizing hint. Quote, there's a 27-year-old who works for the DNC who was shot in the back, murdered just a few weeks ago for unknown reasons, and he was walking down the street in Washington. That was just a robbery, I believe, wasn't it? The host interjected. No, Assange said there is no finding. What are you suggesting? Assange says, I'm suggesting that our sources take risks, Assange said, and they become concerned to see things occurring like that. Assange never said Rich's name, but implications was obvious. Rich was the source. WikiLeaks then announced a $20,000 reward on Twitter for information about Rich's murder. We'll stop with that. This is an interesting story. This is a big story in my mind, why I'm leading with it today. It took a court to have the FBI disgorge the information based in a Freedom of Information Act request. And so that's just a line on how you can start getting information if you're interested. Those people that have all these, I see people commenting through whatever social media and something that gripes them so bad, I would ask you to use that gripe to go start taking action. Instead of griping about how bad it is, go get the objective evidence or seek it out to prove it beyond a continuing question, where the media, the other article talks about, you know, the corrupt mainstream media, which we, again, the modernization of the Schmidt-Mundt Act told us it's just organized criminal syndicate propaganda. I don't know what else to say about all this stuff. But you have to work through that. That's the other problem. These are, again, notices to us on how we're going to have to proceed in this battlefield. It's even against us. For those of us that haven't seen it, it's there. It's just you have to be able to have the eyes to see. And in a way that doesn't, it's not sensationalized to you either. Moving now into other important and interesting things, what I see, what the court allows and what it doesn't, relative to us in our worst capacity and where our society seems to be going in an increasing way. In a case out of Grants Pass, Oregon, court reaffirms right of homeless to sleep outside. About a decade after losing her job and becoming homeless in the small city of Grants Pass, Oregon, Deborah Blake joined two other homeless residents in suing the city over a set of local ordinances that, in their view, criminalized the act of sleeping outside. Blake and her co-plaintiffs argued that there were no shelters where they could stay in the city of 38,000, that they had no place else to go, and that the city's anti-camping and anti-sleeping ordinances represented cruel and unusual punishment in violation of their constitutional rights. Now, the cruel and unusual punishment is certainly directed toward the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution, and apparently that's inside the state. The cities have to be agreeable to that. Why? Through the 14th. And so there are certain things that you have access to through the federal government, and in the last few years I'm realizing, even though there's the Patriot crowd, there's a big denunciation of the 14th Amendment. When you realize the states are really worse now, because they're really not different than the federal, it's almost a help that we have an ability to have an oversight, as slim as it might be, over the state actions, which I found inside the organic establishment that they have obligations and duties they will not recognize. And so we have a real problem, real big problem in two areas. And to me, when we see the 14th Amendment, I realize it's a tool now. It's not necessarily the thing we evade, where it can provide some remedy, if there is any, or relief even. And so these homeless people went and challenged a city ordinance in the state through the organic constitution of the United States federal government, establishing the relationship, and was able to here prevail based in the cruel and unusual punishment clause of that document. Among other things, the ordinance banned the use of rudimentary items such as blankets and cardboard boxes for protection against the weather. Over the past 8 to 10 years, I have met dozens, if not hundreds, of homeless people in Grants Pass, Blake wrote in a court declaration in 2019 when she was 60. So here's an indication. You'll have to write a solid court declaration. It's an affidavit, and you got to do it by the rules. You know, you do it your way. You can do it your way and about the rules, but you still have to do one, and then that becomes the evidence that someone has to refute. If you don't do this stuff and you don't support your paperwork correctly, then there's no evidence in it, and you may not have standing. This woman, when she did that, was 60, and she had apparently had standing along with her co-plaintiffs, those that were joining with her in the suit to sue a city. They have all had similar experiences, she said, with the Grants Pass police awaking them, moving them along, ticketing them, fining them, arresting them, and are criminally prosecuting them for living outside. So this reminds me of your civil rights as a fees, fines, taxes, and all this other exactions of every kind on the most basic things of your life is what government does anymore. That's your civil rights. So that was apparently going to be in excess. In a decision sure to reverberate in bigger cities such as Los Angeles, a three-panel judge of the United States Circuit Court of Appeals issued a ruling Wednesday that largely sided with Blake or her co-plaintiffs, rejecting central tenets of the Grants Pass ordinances as unconstitutional and upholding part of the lower court's decision blocking them from being enforced. The city hadn't disputed that it did not have enough shelter beds for all of its unhoused residents. And this becomes an interesting insight. Today's decision is consistent with a well-based established precedent that it's unconstitutionally cruel to punish homeless people for unavoidable acts of survival, he said. We are pleased with this outcome, but not surprised. And to reduce this down a little bit more so I'm not reading. What's interesting is that apparently fire is not a part of your survival needs when you're outside, and the reason for your ability to keep yourself in a cardboard box is to keep warm. This is the limit that the Court of Appeals gave to people that were living homelessly at the most basic survival. You can live in a cardboard box, but you can't have fire. So this is really anomalous as well on top of it, and this is, in a way, a big deal. This is also because of how we're going into, this economic, it looks like a disaster we're being walked into, and there's not really any escape. And likely people, as a people, we're not willing to or able to counter it. We're not going to get together locally and get together. We're actually going to divide ourselves. I'm hearing it happening right now with the food banks. They're fighting in line over the food, the diminishing food, and the food banks are having to deal with the onslaught. It's just becoming more and more pervasive. This is not going well already. As more and more homeless are coming onto the streets, you're given the notice you can have a blanket and a box, and that's going to be about it. And so they're planning for this, in some regard. But I just found it interesting that the limit was, and this is, you have to keep track of this one, where the city did not provide for them, then they could. And so this is another servitude that you don't have a choice at that point where any city does develop a reasonable place to lay your head. And this becomes the housing of people, mass housing of people like we hear in arenas. If that's not challenged, that becomes valid. Because all it is you have a right to is just to be able to sleep. Moving into more disabilities and people going on. Appeals court tosses conviction of disabled woman cops chased on her mobility scooter. Oregon woman living with a degenerative eye disease and a pulmonary disease was using her electric mobility scooter on her way from karaoke when she was stopped by police for operating her scooter on a sidewalk and crosswalk and for failing to wear a helmet. Cops told her she could not use her scooter. She continues using her scooter, so the police trailed her with their lights and siren on in a low-speed pursuit that lasted 2 to 3 minutes. The prosecutor felony charges, non-unanimous, Oregon jury guilty. Oregon Court of Appeals states an electric, part of the Oregon Court of Appeals statement, an electric scooter is not a motor vehicle, and a trial judge should have granted an acquittal sui sponte, on its own motion. See, this is where you see that there are things in the law. An electric mobility scooter is not a motor vehicle, and a trial judge should have granted an acquittal sui sponte. The trial judge should have done on his own motion, seen the injustice, identified that the mobility scooter is not a motor vehicle, and on its own motion to do justice immediately, granted the acquittal. This is a major failure of the first judge that every court says is the judge of your first resort remedy. There shouldn't need appeals. These judges are supposed to know this stuff and do justice. I looked at this story on the obviousness of the cops chasing down a disabled woman in a mobility scooter. And this court did not move on its own to acquit. We're not seeing any judge here that had that scruple in them to be able to analyze the law is a notice to you, is what I see all the time. So we now know, at least for now, electric mobility scooter is not a motor vehicle. It's not subject to the motor vehicle law. The actions of the state in this case, from the police officer's decision to pursue defendant in a low-speed chase for the $25 specific fine, traffic violation of not wearing a helmet, to the prosecutor's decision to pursue a felony charge under those circumstances, to the attorney general's office decision to defend those decisions on appeal, should not be ignored, close quote. Judgment of acquittal entered. Now, you have to understand, I hope people are understanding what I'm reading, why I read these things. The Attorney General, if you go to the duty of the Attorney General, and this happens to be where our petition for redress is sitting, these really not a much of a duty in the attorney for you and me, the people. It is to the state interest, but it does, the Attorney General does, is supposed to stop the cause of defenseless, the causes that cause defenselessness and oppression. And this is, I think, what the, it didn't, doesn't say it outright, but I think what the court is saying is that the Attorney General's actions were to have looked in also and identified that this was not a properly applied law. They should have known. That's why they call, there's one or two of them in that office called solicitors. My understanding of that definition is that's the law officer, not just these attorneys. They got a little bit higher duty to know law and to have it applied as a reviewer over these cases. But they had a higher duty here to stop the oppression and the cause of the defenselessness against the defenses, and they didn't do it. So there's a little indication here that I found interesting, if you can, if you reread between the lines a bit, it shows that there is something in there that's supposed to be being done, but your officials are not doing it. And as long as we tolerate this nonsense, like this failure, this dereliction to the duties, the more people don't step up even just to make what seems to be a futile effort to make a writing to press this, we're going to continue to see this transformation of our society. And I don't know what more to say about that. I know it doesn't sound good. It's tedious, maybe boring, but it's your lives. It's how they're bringing people into destitution and oppression more and deeper. Because these officials in the government, your government's been overthrown. This is a great, from the top to the bottom, the government's overthrown in justice, in doing what's right for people. The morality of the problem here is just immense. But we'll leave this here now. Interesting story, ludicrous on its face, but it took a court decision to say, to tell you a definition that your little mobility scooter is not in the motor vehicle code. But it was even worse. Nobody in the system stepped up when they should have, not even the courts. And then it took an appeals court, thankfully, I guess we can say, to finally say, no, this is really so bad, it's an embarrassment to us. We can't let this, as the occupier, we can't let this go on. This is where we have to draw the line, because we keep doing this to people. People's morality will be invoked, and we're going to have the problem with the natives, essentially. We can't get the natives restless. But this is top to bottom, systemically wrong. And so I appreciated this decision, notwithstanding how ludicrous it is on its face. Another point of the pointing out how this thing works, and you got it, people, takes people to go be violated to move on and taking things to the courts again in your election sphere, if you believe in all that. I have a belief in a bit of it, but there's too many ties to oppression in those things, servitudes that aren't true. It actually shows the voting system shows you it's all federalized as well. It's how you're signing up and into this stuff. So you really don't have your states like you thought, and yet there's these savings clauses that point to the fact that it exists and it should. That prior case says that there's a prior authority in the government to look at those things. So don't underestimate the power of that little absurdity of the cops, how stupid the cops are to do so, and that no one was in there to protect her until it finally got to an appellate court, and they said, this is just too embarrassing. You can't do it all like this. Boy, let's talk about the false imprisonment for this lady all along the way, now that it's not just a... It wasn't just bad from the cops. It was bad along the line. Every one of those people imprisoned her till it was done. And then they did it by an acquittal. They didn't do it by saying, hey, well, your charging instrument had no standing. You see how that works, too. This is a carte blanche. The occupier has power, no matter how bad it is. But Wisconsin, now moving on to your elections, Wisconsin Supreme Court outlaws ballot drop boxes for elections. A divided Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled on Friday, and this is a couple of weeks ago, I'm sure, actually, way back in July. I've been having trouble getting to these tabs, too, I suppose, but they came in time to my mind today on how it takes people to act against these things properly in order to get some kind of a relief of levels. If you believe in elections and this and that, and you want your some better fiduciary development, you got to limit all the vulnerabilities. And in Wisconsin, they found out that the drop boxes are one, and therefore they are these drop boxes will be, which increased substantially across the country during the COVID-19 pandemic, is illegal under state law. And this is my problem, my gripe about the courts. The courts and the attorney general should be stepping in immediately when a law, they should actually have that the laws get not presumed to be correct. They should be checked for being correct, at least in a couple levels of certification, if you will, because this is what happens. They did illegal things underneath election law. That is a direct attack on your, no matter what you believe about all this election stuff, that's a direct attack on your democracy, so-called. And they allowed that for as long as that law was going. How many cases we hear? Hundreds of years, illegal laws are being worked. And I've seen court cases where those illegal laws continue. At some point, it becomes impossible, they tell us, to eliminate them. That showed me that we live in an occupied country. That these kinds of nonsensical ideas that you find a crime, a fraud upon you, and it vitiates everything there from it and after that it should be eliminated when it, once it's found, no matter when, and it's not. It sets us up for what we've been seeing since, like I've told you, the toxic debt thing, the fraud we're living under, the 9/11 stuff, all Seth Rich, all this this collusion that goes on behind the scenes. People call it the deep state. On this regard, regarding the other fraud of COVID-19 pandemic, again, that's international, not local. That's another fraud. They didn't call that out. But that precipitated this destruction of your election system, this weakening, the vulnerability of the election system. In a 4-3 ruling, the court's conservative majority also said voters cannot have other people return their completed ballots in person to a clerk's office, though it declined to rule on whether anyone other than a voter could send in ballots by mail. The decision ensures the drop boxes will not be in place for the state's August primary election as well in the November's general election when Democrat Governor Tony Evers, Republican, and U.S. Senator Joran Johnson will seek re-election in crucial midterms. Okay, so let me offer something else as I see this mail-in ballots. It's been an idea, there's been a thought that the mail-in ballots was a problem. I remember when they were promoting them in the state. And I didn't really like them at all, but who am I? You know, what do we know? Well, they put them in, and it seems that that year it was put in by a Republican governor, and that year they put in mail-in ballots. It was the last year of a Republican governor. This state went blue. It stayed blue. It's cold as ice. It's a pioneer police state, and it's likely going to stay that way, even though the majority of the people in this case seem to be more consistent with a more conservative lifestyle. And more conducive to production. There's lots of ranchers and farmers and rural folk, and I didn't want to insult the rural folk, because that's an insult, actually. The countryside and the country folk, this is what this happened. So there is evidence that the mail-in balloting is a weapon, just like any of this stuff. I don't know if it's the answer, but we just see evidences. And so here we go. Wisconsin said drop boxes are no good there. Not sure how that'll translate out, but this might be for those of you that are into the election scheme and trying to make bring more confidence to a corrupt thing and a federal thing. Well, go ahead and work. I mean, really, go ahead and work on it. Get practiced in how to address these violations to people. Literally, whether I believe in this stuff anymore or not, if that's the way you believe and this is how you get your people in, and that's how they're supposed to do it. If this is corrupt, how much chance do you have? How much chance? How much more evidence do I need that the next election year after this change, that a state goes from balancing back and forth like they do the ping pong game to completely one party side is, I would hope, indicative of a real illegality in that system. Now ended in Wisconsin to that extent that it is. Moving over to another type of piracy, but it's been ameliorated. Broadest U.S. pirate site injunction rewritten, tamed by Cloudflare. Cloudflare is this DNS, the content provider. You go to one section and keep getting your content. I guess it makes it more efficient and you don't have to keep up storing information that you can download from your browser. But Cloudflare, when video and broadcasting companies take on their pirate site competitors, it's only to naturally that once they have their day in court, the measures are taken to ensure the sites don't just simply come back online. While an airtight injunction can't work miracles, they do make it easier to disrupt a pirate site's business to the point that it may not be worth carrying on. On the other hand, an overbroad injunction has the potential to disrupt the business of third-party services too, despite them having little to do with an infringement or any reasonable way to predict it. And here we are again. Listen carefully. It's an injunction. This is an equity action. You go to your rules. Federal, if you go to the federal rules, it's up around 54, 55, rule 54, 55. The states are kind of similar. And go read very carefully. It's a very simple action. It's pretty interesting. It's kind of got an interesting underbelly that's complicated in a way, but it's really only bringing your rights. It's only bringing how something is oppressing you that doesn't have a right to oppress you. And this is kind of and it's a very short process. It doesn't go on and on. It's not supposed to if it doesn't have to. That depends on your thing. So here we have it. I'm pointing out, here's somebody who stepped up against an infringement that they weren't a part of that was hurting them. And I'm talking about a report that I read a long time ago that I'm not sure if it was against an Israeli set of people. I can't remember having these kinds of pirating sites, that they had a monstrously strict injunction laid against it that was so broad spectrum it affects everybody, including people like these companies like Cloudflare. A big injunction, big tech problems. That's exactly what happened when several Israel-based video companies won three lawsuits, an injunction to shut down the three streaming IPTV platforms. The injunction granted extreme powers from residential ISP blocking to almost any other action the plaintiffs deemed fit to keep off sites offline. Shocking is what I couldn't understand the power they were given to these groups, these Israeli groups, no less. At any rate, so almost immediately that led to friction with third-party service providers, and the situation only worsened when a concerned Cloudflare found itself threatened with a contempt of court for noncompliance. The CDN company fought back with the support of Google and EFF, and that led to the parties back to the negotiating table. Filings in the last case last week suggest the acceptance by the plaintiffs that the injunction cannot be enforced in its present form. The parties compromised to work on a new injunction to address both sides' concerns, and as a result, a new proposal now awaits the court's approval. And so you see that you can force this into an issue where there's going to be a discussion. You just don't have people coming around with thinking they have rights to destroy everybody, and then there's no remedy. So the court just sits in looking over how lawful the agreements come, but there is going to be an agreement. It's like a contract they're developing under the purview of a court, a judge that the society says has the right to determine the law. And so, again, it took someone to defend themselves. If you're not defending yourself and you feel oppressed or there's a problem or wrong, you got to look at yourself. Go look to that mirror and who's actually continuing to cause that to you, because the oppressor is not going to stop. The attacker is not going to stop. They're going to get away with what they get away with. The governor, as we move into now, the pirating and the technology that we do in the world that we're moving into now moving forward. And then the questions that come along, again, until someone stops and steps up and asserts certain things, the harms can happen to us. And there's a lot of people that are interested in this next topic. And there's a certain way to get at it as well. But here in this case, there was a request apparently to a governor who acts and asks the FCC chair to, quote, take immediate action as directed by the courts to update wireless radiation safety regulations. So again, someone has to step up to get someone to act in an official capacity, has more power than we the people, because we have no power, it seems. These are all administrative agencies, and they give lip service to certain things, and a lot of times it's that comment period thing. But, as we found and I've reported, when they go awry of the law, or they go outside of it, and you can point that out, and they still disregard it, you bring them to a judiciary, and if that court is giving the law, unlike what happened in Grants Pass, unlike what happened in the other case, that you're not seeing it first, the mobility scooter, the courts should step in and say, yeah, there's a certain way to go about stuff. But it takes someone to step up and do that. The Federal Communications Commission is supposed to protect Americans by regulating the telecom industry. It has failed to do so for decades, with links here for references, and this has led to several lawsuits filed against the regulatory agency. And here, again, filed against the regulatory agency, hopefully after a comment period that failed, and as I was moving and leading to explain, as I've explained to you, when the Waters of the United States definition came up and the government mistreated it, it went to suit. The states did step up for their own interests, and they then attacked that definition as being wrong. The Jefferson Mining District had comments in on it. We literally decided we would not engage and enter and join that case because the states seemed to have the right argument. There was no need for us to engage it. In fact, that court case that by those states was prevailed against the definition of the agency. It was wrong what they did. And interestingly, though they don't cite any comment we made, they do address all the things that our JMD Jefferson Mining District comment stated as being wrong. So at least we understood, if it wasn't a direct relationship to what we were saying, it was that you could use that decision as a test as how well we understood the subject matter of that definition relative to the rivers and where's the jurisdiction and how to determine it and to what extent. And so again, you can use these definitions, these decisions to help advance certain things. You put yourself in standing with them, and or you are there and you're gauging how well you're understanding the subject matter, because then you're turning that information back and you're continuing into addressing the problem against us. But for the communications industries and regulation of the radiation that's going on, there's, in fact, last year the federal court ruled in favor of organizations and petitioners that sued the FCC for not adequately protecting Americans from wireless radiation exposure for 5G and other sources of wireless. And they got links here in this story, so you might want to go through if you're interested to either keep track or see where someone else is doing it and maybe help them, or find your own, find more background for what you believe is even something else not addressed. Again, this is not going, you see, the FCC is not helping it until someone steps up and stops it, or helps to try and do something to stop it or slow it up. Additionally, in 2019, telecom executive gave congressional testimony that they had no scientific evidence that 5G is safe, despite the court ruling and the congressional testimony. The FCC, as well as other government and state agency and committees, have continued to promote and fund 5G deployment and densification, on a land in a space as well as that of 4G and the public Wi-Fi. Again, the governor of Wyoming requesting that update to ensure the public safety, which is totally within the power of the governor to do. And apparently it took that level of integration with that governor. And this reminds me back to that 10th Amendment thing. The states do have the power, and in particular this health issue. Now, I don't know anything more about it, but I found this fascinating. Again, someone can step in if you're that interested in it, and this is one of those subjects I think maybe you should be, although not sure how much along they are, that the agencies need to be brought into some form of actual rule that follows the law, that does look over, and the fact that we haven't been but a derelict population. Like I was saying, where were anybody to talk about the lack of compliance with your local health laws that caused the whole society to be locked down? Is our problem. Nobody stepped up in there. I can't say nobody, but a couple. And they're watching how your occupier in the judiciary is being exposed as the occupier in a judiciary. They're not judges. That's the first thing that rang out in the mobility scooter case. There was no judge to give law and stop harm immediately. No scruple to it. It shows you also their standards, their certifications are irrelevant. They're not there to protect us. They're there to set a delay of relief and an obstruction to remove those people that would go into the office, the attorneys, the attorneys that become so-called judges. We are really living in a bad way that we've been exploited by these very same people that knew how to do that to us. Moving on to the radiation problem, as we see a potential, again, these are just studies. I don't put much effort in studies anymore after saw what they did with the communicable disease nonsense. But they are here. They give us insight. There might be something we can extract, and I do. We can look between the lines. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. However, there is some evidence now about some interesting responses here through 6G radiation boost brain cell growth in mice. So where the governor was, Wyoming says, hey, listen, we need to have you make some better rules and stick to what those are to ensure the health and safety of our people. We might see that, I'm not saying it's going either way. Maybe you want more brain cells in your brain, but that hasn't been tested for. They were ignoring these types of things. But we now see the terahertz band radio waves are a prime candidate to serve as a backbone of future 6G networks. The 6G, again, terahertz, they're admitting 5G they promote today is not. It's essentially a paralleling 4G LTE. Give you more lines in. It's still faster, but it's not the terahertz waves, which is much smaller, shorter, and they're pulsed a lot harder, so that's like more of a high-velocity bullet, if you will, that has a that affects any cell of its size, any resonant chamber of its of that responds to it. The same technology, this terahertz wave, may power the next generation of mobile networks, has been shown to increase the growth of brain cells in mice, according to the new study of Jiatong University in Beijing. Radio waves in the terahertz frequency can transmit data at speeds of up to one terabit, or again, numbers. It is a prime candidate for the next generation of mobile phone networks if it can be proven safe. Well, they don't want to prove it. They just want to implement it. And anyway, so there's now this evidence that these things can work. They bring up the idea. There's another use for terahertz radio waves, treatment of neurological disorders like Alzheimer's, autism, and Parkinson's disease. The researchers exposed brain mice and neurons in a petri dish to a 100-watt pulse radiation ranging from 0.3 terahertz to 3 terahertz. And the result was that exposed neuron grew at the rate of 150% compared to the control group. So here they're trying to advertise it as something good as a treatment. But the problem is when you start looking deeper, despite the accelerated cell growth, the brain cell appeared healthy. The accelerated growth was not permanent. It slowed 2 days after exposure. The point is it's affecting your biology. And do you want that? And then they're kind of promoting, oh, we could maybe use this for Alzheimer's disease. Well, go ahead and put it in the medical profession if that's what it's going to do. But are you going to expose, if it's going to do that to people, do you allow it to be exposed to everyone? So the Russian Academy looking at this showed that prolonged exposure to strong terahertz radiation had an adverse effect, increasing the temperature of the brain. And this is the thermal issue, but that has been denied and not wanted to look at. We're also not looking at the ionization of the cells or their affected resonance. We ought to see a little bit of effect here when they grow more. They're responding to this energy, and they maybe ought not to if we want to keep ourselves normal. And the disturbing their development and causing a dehydration of the cells, which reduces their size and causes damage. So, again, the verdict is out. Where do you use it? Well, if you're going to use it for terahertz waves for medical, maybe so, maybe good. Maybe not so good in a general constant bombardment in your life through all the devices that are around you everywhere in your life, every place now, it seems. And moving more and more central to your life, a digital dollar and digital euro will not be anonymous, we hear. As I've been telling you, this was going on and coming. People denied it. Again, I can't believe I was vilified for this stuff, but there we are. People arguing with me and kind of dismissing me and, oh, because I didn't believe in blockchain or the coins and all that stuff and the payment of digital things, that I was some kind of Luddite, pariah of some sort. No, this is what the whole plan, they don't care about how they, you see the FCC doesn't care about irradiating you, it's not about you. The BIS guy says, he's a premier, he says he wants to know where every penny you spend goes. We can't track it. That's what their whole global monetary beast is about. And he told you the truth, but no one really wants to see this. But here we are. You're also not going to be anonymous on this. And how would you be? And this is my problem with that third-party problem. The central banks are the third party to you, but now you have a direct connection and a trust with them. Can you trust them? Well, I have a first answer. I can't trust you. You're not trustable. But despite privacy being one of the main concerns citizens have about central bank digital currencies, the heads of the United States, Federal Reserve, and European Central Bank, ECB, have confirmed that their respective CBDCs will not be anonymous. During the appearance at the Banque de France event, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, said that if the U.S. were to pursue the central bank to digital currency, it would be identity verified and not anonymous. And we will be looking to balance privacy protection with identity verification, which has to be done, of course, in today's traditional banking system as well. These are all just lip service. They have to go to through third parties and systems of hardware. So here what they're telling you. I told you it was going to be, there was not going to be anything anonymous about any of this stuff, and they're not going to set up a system that would be, and certainly can't be, where you have all these intermediaries. And we'll end that right there. Digital dollar is not going to be what everyone was thinking. You're not going to get your Bitcoin. You're not going to be anonymous. You're not going to be decentralized. Certainly, it was by definition always coming to a centralized control. Federal Reserve announces major pilot exercise for ESG, social credit score system, in furtherance of this idea. They're already moving into the next phase of what they were intending anyway. They called it a question whether they're going to have it. No, this was a plan. I've been telling you about this for years and years. This was a fact, what was coming. The people didn't believe me. Not that I have to be believed, but you know, I'm telling you not because you have to believe me, that this is something you're going to have to figure out how to avoid like the plague, if not worse. Like the plague. It's a communicable disease, what they're imposing upon you. The Federal Reserve has taken a major step in the direction of facilitating an ESG-compliant monetary network that effectively acts as a parallel system to that of the Chinese Communist parent party's infamous social credit scoring system. The Fed said in a statement Thursday, quote, six of the nation's largest banks will participate in a pilot climate scenario analysis exercise designed to enhance the ability of supervisors and firms to measure the manage climate-related financial risks. A scenario analysis in which the resilience of the financial institution is assessed under the different hypothetical climate scenarios is an emerging tool to assess climate-related financial risks, and there will be no capital or supervisory implications from the pilot. In other words, the Fed is working with the big banks to monitor their ability to comply with the ruling class's preferred enviro statists' technocratic tyranny. I even think I have a broadcast of that title. The unaccounted, technocratic tyranny. The unaccountable people behind the American money printer claim that this is a exercise is exploratory in nature and does not have capital consequences. Well, there is no capital at this point, all right? So this is just a big fraud. Everything's a big fraud, but it is about control. And they're showing you that it's climate related, another fraud. Now, what business they have in that, I don't know, really, but this is where it goes on too. So the digital dollar, and I want to kind of throw this out there for people, with the way the younger generation's coming up and the new, proper speak goes on. There's people, young people with a lot of clout coming that don't even have cash in their pocket. They will actually denounce and will not do business with anybody that even accepts cash. It's kind of like, it's this new privilege stuff. If you take cash, oh, it's dirty, we're not going to deal with you. That's a very large political mindset, monetary mindset, when you're not going to go do business with a company because they accept cash. What I want to throw out there is how to combat, maybe, I don't know if I understand it completely how to do this, but maybe how to combat this a bit now. Start throwing out the idea. Start re-educating these people that tend to go by these weird ideas that look at your country. Even in the fiat sense, the cash is better than anything digital, regardless of what you're feeling. Cash is, it's in the hand, and you can make your deals with something that takes time to move around. It's something tangible. It can't be controlled as well, certainly not nearly as well. But maybe we should start passing out this phrase to combat this idea and to promote the use of cash. Is saying simply, denying cash use is racism. Just start promoting for yourself that, and using cash, and then saying, if you hear it, that denying cash use is a racism. And I think we will start to catch maybe some attention here and send the message. We better start working with our cash a lot more. Don't go into this digital field. You're seeing they're telling us that it's moving in, and it's all part of that technocratic tyranny through the fraud of climate change, which is a conflation of the need to control pollution, now move to the world as man causes every now violation, but it was actually a political transformation. And boy, what is economy? What is the control of your financial structures? Right, so let's keep moving this on to the digital issue is the focus, the ESGs, the environment, social and type stuff, that's the implementation. This is not just a pilot program. They're implementing some infrastructure right now, and it's just going to come together. They're just going to put it out together eventually. This may not do it, but this is just telegraphing they are going to do it. As we see more references to the same guy, I don't know how this guy got such an expert in all these fields, but Gates Foundation boosts funding for digital ID projects. So you're not going to have an account without being identifiable, and they're not anonymous. So here we are. They're telling us and backing it up, these reports and stories, that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has increased its investments in digital ID projects through part of a $1.2 billion package to support global health and development projects. Part of the funding, $200 million, will go to digital public infrastructure, including civil registry databases and ID. I think I want to end there. You see it coming. They go right through the United Nations development goals, and that is the ESG. This is not just a guess, and by golly, by the Federal Reserve, they're on point to implement all this stuff. And Gates is right there, just like he was right there to promote and the Gavi group to do all the fraud behind the fraud called pandemic globally to do this stuff underneath the cover of health. They know this is the police power. This is why I went there immediately to show you how you dissolve it, you destroy it in them until they can do the due process. Again, maybe our last connection to any kind of relief at all. I don't say justice. It's beyond justice. The judges are not stepping up. If you can't go down with a mobility scooter and have a judge protect you, there is none available to us. It's time to protect ourselves. Doesn't happen by someone else protecting you. And in a way, until you step up, you don't. But there is some people protecting us when those step up. Otherwise, you wait. You may wait 100 years before you get protection. Oh, wait. We don't last that long. Okay. And they do that on purpose, too. They do that because they move generationally. They move societies generationally, time out of mind about what we used to understand, and then jump you back to the future without that protection, without that awareness, like we did with the destruction of the rightful destruction of Roe versus Wade decision. That was a big political move that removed a society from its prior moral sense into one that had none. And then we started fighting amongst ourselves over that. We thought our argument was with us. My problem with all that situation. But it's not a problem if everyone understood it, but they didn't. No, they started attacking each other. Now, men having no cause, women feeling and understanding what that meant to them. Feeling that because they didn't understand otherwise, they were being attacked in their rights. And this becomes a side of the issue of what was there regarding the abortion. That men were attacking women then, because they have a sense that the women have a need to have their own rights to medical anonymity as well, and proper care. But see, the whole world's going out of that. It's committee care. A friend of mine, his wife, he had to go through it this week. He could not believe the lack of actual medical care that's in the system anymore. And this is what we're all facing. And we're facing it, for most of us, we don't see that unless we have that problem. Unless we have that problem, whatever that problem is, relative to these things, you will not be aware how far removed that system has moved from you into this system. That we've been told, this notice is news to us of where they've been going all along, and I try to bring it, and I say, I don't know if you receive it, but I bring it, but to show you, here's where it's going, now how are we going to avoid it? Are we going to keep standing on that train track when the train shows up, facing the wrong direction, or are we just not going to be on that track? And what the steps were that we took to get there? Google app update reveals future digital ID features. Google Wallet, which was launched in May to replace Google Pay, is now available in 6 countries. Goes through the list of the 6 countries. The users in these countries can add their payment card to Google Wallet, which will allow them to make contactless payments using their Android and Wear OS devices. You're totally wired for sound. Contactless is a head nod to the health impositions. Contactless. Google Wallet not only supports contactless payments, but also, in theory, digital IDs, health passes, and more. There you go. These people, this high-tech stuff is involved. Remember, the Google Wallet could be an intermediary that you'd be going through the Fed. You're not anonymous. And I'm looking at these phones and these agreements. I don't know how society got where it was. If everyone actually reads the agreements that are involved with this communication device, they would likely, with a sound mind, thank you, sound mind, they would likely not have gotten these phones. But nobody understands nor takes the time to read what is being put on them. I'm astonished. How we are here now. I see now why we're here. But that ignorance is why we're here. The crickets is why we're here. We're creatures of our needs, I suppose. We don't insist to protect us, and that's what's being exploited. Where Google will protect itself in that Cloudflare decision to make a jump in with all their corporate lawyers to protect themselves, they turn around and they're going to exploit you. You are the product, let's say, as they keep saying. Absolutely. Well, you're worse. You're worse than that. They make more profit and control relative to your future world, where you have to comply with the ESGs of a foreign system placed in you by your monetary leash and debt, because it's all a debt system. Debtors don't have rights. The stores are going on to require IDs. Here comes watch your phone coming down here soon. The stores requiring ID to buy whipped cream in New York State under new law. It's also part of all this climate change nonsense. Remember about the nitrogen, remember? Huh? Yeah, well, now over in Europe, now they're coming here. The stores have begun requiring ID to buy cans of whipped cream in New York State, thanks to a new law. The Capital Region have started posting signs letting customers know the proof of age is now required to check out sales of whipped cream canisters. The customers must be 21 years older to buy a dessert topping similar to the age restriction on alcohol and tobacco products. I'm just going to end here. We go on and on. You need to read this because it talks about the nitrous oxide laughing gas that's in it. I was at another story. I forgot to bring it up. That the nitrous oxide is created by plants, corn fields in the winter when they get cold. So I did talk about that before. So remember, this is becoming an issue. They're looking for all kinds of ways to bring another chemical into the sphere to control. This becomes, if it's ID, it becomes part of your wallet. If it's part of your ID, part of how they control you. They're going after whipped cream already. It doesn't end here, folks. It goes on and on and on. So sobriety checkpoints keep on going, these ID checks under pretense, creating you into a system that creates IDs under pretense, not anonymous, completely open to all the people that are going to exploit you, but completely closed to everybody else, which is likely nobody, essentially. Everyone's going to be exploitable. Sobriety checkpoints, in quotes, sobriety checkpoints of motorists as a pretext to ID checks. Papers, please, written by them. Now, I guess the mobility scooter wouldn't be part of this, but in disturbing decision, 3-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, who just said you get to live in a box and with a blanket outside, but you can't have a fire to keep yourself warm, even though that's the object, made a disturbing decision that upheld the arrest of a driver who refused to show ID on demand of police at what was purportedly a sobriety checkpoint for motorists in Vallejo, California. All the charges against the driver, Mr. DeMaris, were dismissed before Mr. DeMaris filed his federal lawsuit against the police. The Ninth Circuit opinion didn't address whether any conviction would have withstood constitutional scrutiny, but the Ninth Circuit dismissed Mr. DeMaris's complaint against the police and the city of Vallejo for violating his civil rights by demanding that he show ID at a sobriety checkpoint without a warrant or probable cause to believe that he had committed any crime and arresting him when he was declined to show the ID. This opinion here says the tortured reasoning of the decision, I would have to agree all this stuff is tortured because it never gets to the original fact. It just throws everybody underneath the motorist bus. Well, I guess unless you're under a mobility scooter and you got to challenge it, even though you got destroyed by the system and prevailed anyway. Good for her, that lady. Oh, and then it had to go through a court to prove that out? Wow. How you don't realize you're all controlled by this system is really amazing to us. If we look very carefully, the reasoning hinges on a dubious self-serving claim that the police, that their intent wasn't to use the sobriety checkpoint for general law enforcement purposes. The ID checks are an objectively permissible purpose for the checkpoint as long as the subjective intent of the police wasn't to operate a general law enforcement dragnet, as in fact it almost certainly was, and that the ID checks only minimally delayed most motorists beyond delay that would have been occasioned by the sobriety checkpoints. I'm not going to get into the details on this too much, but that's where they get you on your application. And then they get into this lawyerly gazoozling, thank you, David Tulis, on how they're going to work this through, what this article is about. The decision notes the drivers were required only to show facially valid driver's license, which were not checked for outstanding wants or warrants, but that it treated only as evidence of whether or not the checkpoint was intended for general law enforcement purposes and not a necessary dispositive of whether the ID demand was constitutional. Well, that's more of the thing we talk about, the false imprisonment. If you don't move through the civil rights stuff, maybe you have a better chance. And then my thought is there, Well, if you aren't a motorist, if you have a granted right to use that road, they're not recognizing that either. Maybe the underlying thing the Ninth Circuit would not explain, so they continue the corruption against the people, because we know the courts will not immediately give you your rights. It takes years and years and years. The courts are not sitting there to sui sponte, look at the words, on its own motion, to look into the law and how it's being applied and immediately, on their own motion, move to control the executive or even the legislature on a wrong law. No, they allow that presumption of lawfulness upon the so-called sovereign that actually isn't. But that only defined to me, indeed, they are an occupier. That unless you come under the presumption of their guilt that they impose and impute to you, and you show that you have the right not to be, that's only when they'll recognize it against someone who will never want to really recognize, unless, as I find, it embarrasses them so bad that they took a mobility scooter, running away from the police to show them that they shouldn't have done it, systemically top to bottom, if you understand what we're talking about here. How they infringe left and right, how this Ninth Circuit's not really helping us either. Why can't you have a fire in your cardboard? Well, I can see the safety reason, but if that's what I'm freezing, and that's my only place, that still is survivable. Where's the government to determine, the judges, to determine what my survival needs are, in a survival sense? Is the notice to you that when it comes down to your digital ID social credit system that's being implemented in the United States of America, they have control down to the fact they can run you down into a cardboard box. I hope you're seeing that. And I hope you don't think you're so rich right now that it's not going to happen to you. Opinion. Why are Chinese police operating in Canada while our own government and security services apparently look the other way? That opinion of Charles Burton. I just found this interesting when he talks about the sovereign thing. Sovereignties and the impositions. I'm seeing a melding of these jurisdictions. Trudeau was a poster child of oppression. Why not China being allowed in? But here we'll just read a little bit quickly. There's a context to this, interestingly. In China, the high-profile TV drama In the Name of the People has become a smash hit. In that show, Chinese agents enter the United States posing as businessmen so that they can repatriate a factory manager who had fled abroad with huge, ill-gotten wealth. But a new study from the European non-governmental agency Safeguard Defenders suggests that there might be some truth to the fiction. According to the NGO, the Fuzhou Public Security Bureau has established more than 50 overseas police service centers in the cities around the world, including 3 publicly documented ones in Toronto. Home to Canada's largest Chinese diaspora. This is an outrage. Chinese police setting up offices in Canada, then persuading alleged criminals to return to their motherland to face justice, while our own government and security services apparently choose to look the other way, represents a gross violation of Canada's national sovereignty, international law, and the norms of diplomacy. Let me just end there, just to insert, what if you're looking at, indeed, those don't matter anymore? And unless somebody like Charles here, Burton, steps up and makes that challenge and understands that he's up against a corruption that's global. Again, the Bar Association's global. We talked about the ends of court. They spread their stuff everywhere. We're looking at nations that are in trouble. People are in trouble. We're seeing it. And I thank Charles for pointing it out. I wouldn't have known, but it doesn't matter to me. And I'm not necessarily, yet I haven't identified as Chinese, so they can't get me, I suppose. Never been to China. Certainly don't have a whole lot of money. Not getting huge ill-gotten gains. But there may not be any sovereignty here. Maybe that's what we need to start looking at. Maybe there ought to be, and there's not. That's another type of indication. That's a more involved condition. It starts to speak more to the protests, that, you know, the truckers thing, but that has to develop beyond that. I told you that's probably not going to go very far because it didn't go very far. There wasn't the proper addressing of those things inside why they were doing, the government was doing it, and that was a failure. Again, that was that communicable disease thing. They group you in these facial recognition systems as well. But facial recognition, smartwatches to be used to monitor foreign offenders in UK. A notice to us in the future. Again, social credit. The United States is in it. China's in it. We're seeing it all. They're now moving it over to UK for foreign offenders. And you say, okay, good, that's what we need to control the foreign offender. You're the foreign offender soon. Remember, in the United States, everybody became an enemy combatant. Why? 9/11, the PATRIOT Act. You're all committing misdemeanors as you breathe, enough to get you involved. And then you're not actually a citizen of, if you will, of a district. You're only the resident that they're supposed to protect doing business in a foreign state. That you're a migrant, essentially, in your own land. Migrants who have been convicted of criminal offense will be required to scan their faces up to 5 times a day using smartwatches installed with facial recognition technology under plans from the Home Office and the Ministry of Justice. I don't want us to say Ministry of Justice. Yeah, no justice, folks. It's just this imposition. I just point this out. I won't read anymore. You can read the stories. I encourage you to go to the Blogcaster, download the link, start reading this stuff, see how they're doing it. If you feel strongly against this, start to figure out how you're going to address it in your local area, because it's coming everywhere. These things will be tied to your if it's not to your watch that they'll make you wear because you're some climate terrorist, to whatever. They legitimately try to get you involved. They're going to have you on your phone or whatever. It's right here. The technology is on us to do that. It's all around us. And we're admitting to all of it. And we keep moving. Here, man arrested in Facebook post that caused anxiety. Your freedom of speech now is being affected, as we have seen, but to the point of a crime. In the past 2 years, the social media platforms, remember, social media, social credit, social connections, all these things, you get on the internet, you have to have hardware, you have to be in the internet system, you have to have the identities to move with it. Right now, some of it's a little loose, but eventually, you won't be anonymous, and you will be tied in trust to third parties called agents of government, instrumentalities of government, not even the government itself. In the past 2 years, the social media platforms, mainstream media, and government agencies have practiced a variety of different forms of censorship. However, there's a video here that says at the end of the July 2022, the British police took censorship to a whole new level when they handcuffed a man in his home for reposting a meme on Facebook that, quote, caused someone anxiety. I don't know about read more. I can go. They talk about George Orwell. This article talks about how these standards are all what we see coming through and from. That notice to us probably of the Animal Farm in 1984 and the handbook of the World Economic Forum. I won't read any more. You can pick this up. The point is, it's right here to tell us this is what's going on. Someone was arrested. That's going to, well, maybe scare you or should invigorate you, or you're just going to know you're waiting for your day. And all these connections to the social system, the social media, this is our social system, become the vulnerabilities for each one of us. As New Zealand, the PM, demands global censorship system. It has begun. The next step is to round up the terrorists, in quotes, and we know that what the state does to them. New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, for some reason deemed a, quote, liberal, has called, that's right, they put all these labels just to hide, you know, to convolute what's going on. People have such funny minds about how they make these labels, and we tend to believe it when these people are criminals. They're in an organized criminal syndicate, actually. But moving on, and hopefully not interjecting too much more, for some reason deemed liberal, has called for a global system of repression against speech she does not agree with, namely questioning climate change. If you're not getting the idea yet, it's all focused on this fraud, this political tool and weapon to transform your societies as the reason for transforming the society. I am referring to the classical definition of liberalism, a political ideology based on the protection of individual liberty, including the most important freedom of speech. Well, I don't know if that's the most important, but it's an important one. But I mean, I think these all are kind of equal, aren't they? Anyway, Jacinda Ardern is not a liberal. She's a fascist. An organized criminal in concert with corporate structures. Yeah, that sounds like Mussolini said, right? Merriam-Webster defined fascism a tendency toward an actual exercise of strong autocratic or dictatorial control, including the sort of solution proposed by Ardern to demonize and criminalize those who disagree with her, but also to Hillary Clinton and other modern autocratic liberals masquerading as saviors of the people so long as they agree and vote for them. Well, interestingly, the people do. Won't read more. This is a call out. This is telling us this is a global thing. What's been coming out of New Zealand over the years here recently has just been atrocities. And no one seems to care and talk about it and really denounce, I mean, in any really good way, absolutely denounce this and call these things out. for the organized criminal syndication implementations that they are. Start identifying climate change is not about the weather. It's whether or not you want political transformation. And identify it for what it is, not for what they tend to do with it, and not arguing it's about the weather. I mean, the climate. Which word do I use now? The air you breathe and how the storms come through it. Science Journal makes new announcement about its right to censor. So this, we're seeing the rollout of the authorities of everyone to censor. They don't care about your right to speech. And then they'll now identify that that's only against the government, while the government allows rules that allow corporations to do this to you. And this becomes in the stakeholder-stockholder stuff. Nature, human behavior. So what's this all about starts off with that word, behavior. I want to know where every last penny you are. The BIS wants to know where every last penny you spend is so we can control you. A monthly online scientific journal published by German-British company Springer Nature has announced that what it calls a new ethics guidance that looks to tackle potential harms. The precautionary principle right here, folks. Potential harms. There's a potential pandemic. Presumptive pandemic. Now, you hear all the same stuff, right? We're going to save you from yourself, but we're going to invent what that harm might be. Nothing tangible, nothing provable. An editorial goes on to state that the ever-hazy notions of harms are concerns with human population groups that are not participating in scientific research, yet may be harmed by it. These people are just so warm and fuzzy to help you, so good and great Samaritans they are. Again, I don't need to read more. There's a rollout here is about your global censorship, and it's like people are coming out. Everyone that has any authority to say so is moving that agenda forward to control that aspect of us in our communication. A New York governor, Kathy Hochul, signs salespeople law, bans gender language in law. What? Well, anyway, they're going to give it a shot here, and it likely is going to get through because there's no judiciary to stop it, and also that judiciary agrees with this nonsense. Remember, it's reflexive of what the agenda needs, not law, or they call rule o law. I say rule of law. It's not even rule o law now. It's reflexive. It's how the knee-jerk reaction of the system does to heal itself and protect to its outcomes. But here we have New York's Governor Kathy Hochul, it says, signed legislation. A whole bunch of other people agreed with this, that removed the term salesman, replacing it with salesperson. This is the latest in New York's bid to ban language that isn't gender neutral. Whatever that can mean anymore, I don't even really know. What's a person? The people denying their person. That's racist, I suppose, too. Jobs have no gender, but unfortunately many of our state laws still use gender language when discussing professions that are practiced by people of all genders, State Senator Ann Kaplan said of a bill she sponsored with Assemblyman Danny Donald. Let me explain something that I saw years ago. They didn't make an issue. So this is a political statement. This is a promotion. They would just adjust the code. They would do amendments to the code that would do that. And they'd base it on the fact there was not supposed to be a discrimination generally. The word person is one of those words. It's really more subject matter specific in that context. But how long ago was that we had, years and decades ago, well, we're not going to be a congressman, we're going to be a congressperson. It's not even new stuff, but they're making a promotional statement out of the legislation. And what this does is it fortifies another group of people that are given more rights than all of us just to speak generally. They could have just done this by the revisers taking care of that, because for that very reason. A simple little rule. We're going to neutralize. Let me remind you, the statutes are gender neutral. They were already supposed to be gender neutral. Gender does not matter in a statute. They're not supposed to be speaking to anyone. They're supposed to be allowing a provision for remedy, relief, or a place to have our life run better and more orderly. But anyway, again, the promotion. It's just a big ad campaign going on. Well, no whites, and we're going to get into here climate change. You want to talk about climate change-induced chaos? Here we come. Now we got whiteouts and blackouts. Well, these new reports here, no whites allowed. I can't believe I'm reading this stuff, but no whites allowed. Private housing at UC Berkeley bans white people from common areas. The Person of Color Theme House is a private housing co-op off campus to people in UC Berkeley. It's meant low-income first-generation immigrant and marginalized students of color. But you cannot even bring white people into the commons area. You must alert the residents if you want to bring the white people to the house. Many POC, I hope that's people of color, members move their hair to be able to avoid white violence and presence, so respect their decisions of avoidance if you bring white guests. I'm going to stop here. Berkeley is really a bad place, generally. It's where one of the hubs of the environmental movement. And so we have this is a real problem area. However, here we have a whiteout among people promoting another issue here that I would have never, ever thought could be possible. The presumption of a race now of people, the ones you exclude, happen to be of a color. All these things violate the discrimination law, but they're now presumed to be violent by these people? In a place that's supposed to be apparently open to the public to the point of the commons. So a lot of inquiry here. Why are we even doing this to ourselves? It's showing us some mental defects in our people that we're afraid of ourselves as well. And despite the law, people are still discriminatory. And they're not anymore, they're not bashful about that part. And that kind of, as I think of it, that really torques me a little bit, because I've had a couple of experiences in my life that were insulting to me in the treatment of people that were of a different color than me, who I respected very, very much. There's people, really bad, insulted people in the world. Can't leave well enough alone. And here we have some more of this. Whiteout in Berkeley. We also have blackouts of a different nature. Exclusive, Europe braces for mobile network blackouts. That's going to be from everybody. All people of all colors, all whatever your discriminatory laws are. Why they're bringing this here, I don't know. Once unthinkable. Think about this in the power, too. This is supposed to be the whole purpose behind utility companies is to provide power, provide their services without interruption. That's why they were given that power. That ability, that monopoly. Once unthinkable, mobile phones could go dark around Europe this winter if power cuts or energy rationing knocks out parts of the mobile networks across the region. Russia's decision to halt gas supplies via Europe's key supply route in the wake of the Ukraine conflict has increased the chances of power shortages. In France, the situation is made even worse, where several nuclear power plants are shutting down for maintenance. Telecom industry officials say they fear a severe winter will put Europe's telecoms infrastructure to test, forcing companies and governments to try to mitigate the impact. Well, they should be trying now, but let me point out, let's go back. You understand the central role that your phones, your internet, and all this digital ID are to this kind of a problem. And then they blame Russia. And they blame it specific to gas. So, two issues building right here as the next stories go on. We start moving into the next amount of information coming at us. But Europe braces for mobile network blackouts due to the self-inflicted wound that they're going to cut the power. Remove you, if you go, again, digital, remove your existence from the face of the earth in that system. It's not something I think people should be tolerant of. Not even the thought. There's been a major overthrow, and people are still, well, the best they do is they get in their tractors and they complain. Fair enough. Maybe that's all we have left to us. But that ain't going to fix this thing, and I'm really feeling bad for the people in Europe. The nuclear power plant shutting down for maintenance? That's maintenance. They should know about that. Germany going green? And then noticing now that they're getting cut off from their fossil fuels altogether and they didn't have enough? and the cost of that go up, they're trying to destroy the people of Germany. This is not hard to see. So, folks, around the world, you better start looking for your self-preservation, because the systems that are out there don't care. They're looking at a future, whether I fully get it or not, that, again, they tell us, I'll just use the word, austerity, they call it you're prosperous, because what you're doing is you're helping to save the earth. The earth is prosperous. The people that control how the earth is prosperous are prosperous. You're not. You're going to be living in austerity. You're going to be living lives that may not even have existence for whiles while these networks are blacked out. As we see something of interest to me based in this connection to the internet, the blackouts, the connection, communications, the censorship, Israeli spyware company NSO Group CEO steps down. I don't really have more to think about that, but I find it interesting he's stepping down now and didn't before when the heat was really on. What's coming up here? But Israeli spyware firm NSO Group has said its chief executive Shalev Hulio is stepping down with immediate effect. The chief operating officer Yaron Shurhat, appointed to oversee a reorganization of the company, became before a successor is named. The source in the company confirmed on Sunday that of 100 employees will be let go as part of the firm's reorganization, and that Shurhat will lead the company until the board appoints a new CEO. This is a really controversial group, and this is the pig. I think the pig is a spyware type group. People, again, we're talking about the inside abilities of governments to come after people for censorship, track you and trace you. It's all going to be part and parcel, probably, with your digital ID as well. It's just going to be incorporated. Why this guy's stepping down right now, I don't know, because it seemed to me they were embroiled in some pretty scandalous information before, when they were outed to, even if they've been outed to be involved with, you know, Mossad, Intel, all this stuff, government access, influence over governments. But I find that, again, interesting relative to the control of your life through the destruction of your communication system. Your censorship can be just the fact they turn the switch off. So not just you, but to everyone. And relative to what we're, the situation for the Russia is thought, you know, blamed for turning off the gas. A really interesting problem has happened here in the last day or so, a couple of days, that, again, my view on this is to tell you, if you see that you thought a government that was for you, you know, your government or people that you ally, governments you ally with, are willing to do this to other people, they're going to do it to you. Whether you recognize that or see it, or whether it looks the same. But I think through this next story, that's just a really interesting problem. The people of Germany are in some real trouble, it seems to me now. There's no escape in a way that this has been brought on. If you look at how this was brought on and how what nations do to control other nations, and they don't care about the people, that it's about, again, commerce, that What is brought to bear to start pulling off this control? It's pretty astonishing. And then to find out that they do the same methodology in slightly different ways, they attack the same things over time in the same way in your country, may give you an insight as to, again, that type of battlefield and how you may have to start protecting yourself. As we watch here now coming right in, looming into the view, the war on Germany just entered its hot phase. Did you know there was a war in Germany, folks? I've only talked about it a little bit here behind the woodshed. Europe is under threat. By whom? The United States. It's the economy, stupid. STOOPID. It's about energy and energy control. We've been told about this for decades. And for as much as sustainable development and climate change just wants to avoid any carbon, that is what is being promoted, essentially, in this commerce condition. And it's not going away. And I don't know about peak this or peak that. I think that happened to, again, one of those other potential fallacious things. And I say potential because I don't know the ultimate, but the reasoning is totally faulty. And it's looking at the wrong thing. Peak what? For whom? However, moving to this, the war on Germany. Did you know there's a war on Germany? Anybody who's got any kind of insight in the news should have seen this is happening. It's predictable. It was a setup. They got you into green. They made it expensive, and then they cut out your carbon completely, and now you're toast. And they cut it out in a very interesting way here, not so inobvious. Like, it's a big question what goes on here relative to this hot war that's now in a hot phase. The war, hidden behind the United States-created Ukraine crisis, is designed to destroy Europe's manufacturing advantage compared to the U.S. It is more likely, though, to strengthen the economic position of China and other Asian economies. Now you see the movement of Russia and China in what they did as a chess move that looks to me to have been the proper move as well, as the United States has become a very bad chess player in the world. Prone to violence is what. Why Ukraine? I have argued in his, this is the author of the Muno of Alabama website, I have argued that Germany must open the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which can bring Russian natural gas to Germany without crossing other countries' territories. It must also allow Siemens to repair the defect Nord Stream 1 compressors. It is, in fact, inevitable that the German industry to survive. Now we're talking survival here, folks. We're not just talking about losing some gas and some energy and some people being cold. But what are we talking about, this hot war? And this website offers you links so you can see the what? The Nord Stream pipeline. There's a couple of them. They've suffered catastrophic damage. But how? Everyone tried to play it off like it was nothing. I can't tell you how serious this truly is, ultimately. And this one story we have, we go on to the stories. I just want to put some together. Germany now, they're in the hot war. This is against them. This is a line that they had control of one end. Germany believes high explosive devices equivalent to 500 kilograms of TNT used to destroy Nord Stream. Now, this is our pipelines that are underneath, I think it's the Baltic, isn't it? And they're in their sea. This is the high-level stuff going on here. German newspaper Der Spiegel reported that German security officials believe the highly effective explosive devices were used to blow up the Nord Stream pipelines in the Baltic Sea. Blow them up, folks. They just didn't fail. In fact, they were, what, not in service because of these other problems that the United States has put sanctions on Russia so that Germany Siemens couldn't fix their turbines. All self-inflicted. It's not good enough those pipelines are just sitting there. They were destroyed. And then the officials say there's a question. To get an idea what the bombs had to rip through to damage the tubes, Bloomberg's Javier Blas shows an Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 were inches thick of steel coated with tons of concrete on each section. Bloss said, each tube is very strong. They go through the discussion. This is not a simple, menial pipeline system. Apparently, the value is in the billions. It was once the compressors got put back online, they were going to provide the gas to Germany that would augment the problem and avoid the problem relative to what they're seeing now, relative to energy. Reuters quoted the NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg on Thursday saying attacks against EU critical infrastructure would be met with determined response. He called the act sabotage. What's interesting is that it wasn't called sabotage by him, and let me offer you something. The only benefit derived would be that NATO would eliminate that line. We're talking about who done it. We'll get to that soon. Who else would be able to be involved? Who would do it? They're blaming Russia for this too. CIA warned Germany about gas pipeline attacks weeks ago. According to a report by German magazine Der Spiegel, the CIA warned Berlin about a potential attack as the gas pipelines in Baltic Sea weeks ago, citing several people familiar with the matter. The publication reports the tip from the United States spy agency was received in Berlin during the summer. As we highlighted yesterday, Germany's initial response to the incident was that it was likely to be a target attack carried out by either Russia or Ukraine. German investigators concluded that the attack had to be deliberate because it would have been carried out by special forces, Navy, divers, or submarine, which were able to reach the bottom of the sea and place mines or explosives. Although not ruling out the attack could have been by Russia, a false flag, the only perceived motive would have been to blame other parties for the incident, Der Spiegel reported, while acknowledging that the, quote, permanent interruption of gas supplies from Russia would be in Ukraine's interest. So we can go through this ping-pong ball of nonsense going on and on and on. Watch, the point is the United States CIA was involved in advanced knowledge that gave information out that it was, that it had, that, that they were vulnerable. This is what I'm trying to do behind the woods. I'm telling you, you're vulnerable to all these subject matter areas. I've told you these warnings are planned. They're not just like, they're just not, oh, playing around doing a pilot program at the Fed regarding a digital currency. No, that's the plan that's going to be executed or being executed at this point. You don't design something and just throw, you know, even when you fly an airplane, you go step by step. You put the pilot program out, you start modifying the design, you make it better, better until it's ready for production. As I told you, they put Bitcoin out to get you to fix their problems. How are you going to deal with what your expectations? And so they take that and they figure out how they're going to ameliorate anybody's opposition or most people's opposition, and they build that into the system. That's the SMART process. So we hear what the CIA warned what was going on. And we're seeing, oh, we don't know who done it. Somebody, now NATO says it was a sabotage over, initially they're just saying, well, we don't know what this thing is. And then we have evidence that U.S. military aircraft circled Nord Stream incident site in September. Well, who done it? We kind of don't. You had eyes on it? Nobody had eyes on it, so we don't know. But we're going to have to take a little bit of a, do some inferring from some evidence. The United States military reported carried out sorties over the future site of the Nord Stream pipeline incident, that's what they called it in the beginning, in the Baltic Sea. U.S. military helicopters habitually and on numerous occasions circled for hours over the site of the Nord Stream pipelines incident near Bornholm Island earlier in September. Flight Trader 24 data showed. Earlier this month, a U.S. Navy Sikorsky MH-60R Seahawk helicopter spent hours loitering over the location of the damaged natural gas pipelines in the Baltic Sea near Bornholm of several days in a row, September 1, 2, and 3. In particular, Denmark's Maritime Traffic Agency and Sweden's Maritime Authority on Monday reported a, quote, dangerous gas leak in the Baltic Sea. Gas leak? Close to the route of an inactive Nord Stream 2 pipeline, which experienced an unexplained drop in pressure. The leak, southeast of the Danish island of Bornholm, is dangerous for maritime traffic and navigation is prohibited within a 5-mile nautical mile radius of the reported position. Following the incident, German newspaper Tagesspiegel claimed Monday that Berlin is convinced the loss of pressure in the three natural gas pipelines between Russia and Germany was not a coincidence and suspects a targeted attack. Okay, we can read more and more and more. This was now moved through and the countries are starting to look at it. Oh, what's going on here? The cause of the incident remained unknown and the investigation is underway. Swedish Foreign Prime Minister Ann Lind said on Tuesday that the disruption was caused by detonations, which indicates that it was sabotage. While you're all looking around, we're all thinking, oh, what's going on here? Who might be involved? We have evidence that the United States military was flying aircraft over that very spot for weeks and weeks after the CIA said that you're going to have a problem in that area. And I also understand there's a report that the United States military, the Navy, we were doing drone exercises right in that area as well. Well, circumstantial evidence of approximation, at least, right, folks? Russia asked Biden directly if he carried out his threat to destroy Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Well, we have evidence and record pipeline would not go through. It would be destroyed. It would be stopped. This is an important connection that gets around the imposition the United States wants to do relative to allowing gas to go to Germany, which Russia can supply. I think Poland was going to try and do one. They may be implementing some, but which they cannot supply. It will not fulfill the need. The NATO players can't do this. Russian Foreign Minister spokeswoman Maria Zakharova on Wednesday asked Joe Biden directly whether he carried out his threat to destroy the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Russian diplomat warned Biden over pipeline incidents. Quote, U.S. President Joe Biden must answer the question of whether the United States carried out its threat on September 25th and 26th when an emergency was reported on three lines of Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2, which has been preliminarily recognized as ruptures, whereas he suggested those were blown up. The Russian diplomat said that in her Telegram channel on it, she posted a video in which the U.S. leader delivers a speech in the question. The point is that they came right back, Russia came right back and wants to make it public notice that it was stated they did see it. And did you follow through on that, President Biden? More circumstantial evidence. You know the criminal's going to deny it. An EU chief calls Nord Stream attack a sabotage now. Before it was just an incident, now it's a sabotage. This thing was so big, apparently it had Richter scale numbers, like 2 point something or 1.9 on the Richter scale. And then we find out now the Sweden side is finding they got two incidence areas, and on the other end, they've got two incidence areas. This is not just a failure of the pipeline, which we were told is very strong, and it is. But a EU chief says it's sabotage. Now, we're moving it from conjecture to a better idea. This is not just some... Beachgoer accidentally diving into a tank here or into a pipe. This is not just somebody's excursion fishing operation dredging up a pipeline here. This can only be done by state players. Attributed immediately to Russia or Ukraine. Neither of which would really have any purpose. First of all, that's the investment of the Russians. And why would they blow it up? When they have the valve, they just turn their valve off. They turn the compressor off. It was not in service because it's in service, if you will. The maintenance, again. Like France taking down their nuclear sites, their nuclear facilities in order to do the maintenance. It's just a required thing of machines. We now have a European Commission chief, Ursula von der Leyen, confirmed the Nord Stream pipeline system leaks were caused by sabotage. And warned that the strongest possible response should active European energy infrastructure be attacked. Active. See how she avoids the problem? Only active. These were inactive at the time. This is the other problem. It was not like they blew up because of their gas pressure. Earlier, Danish Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen described the three separate leaks, Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2, as deliberate acts. It's hard to imagine that it's accident. So they continued this question, but it's ultimately determined it is sabotage, and almost necessarily has to be. While the U.S. comes out and rejects being involved in Nord Stream sabotage. A guy named Ned Price saying that the idea of the United States was in any way involved in the apparent sabotage of these pipelines is preposterous. It is nothing more than function of Russia disinformation. Price also declined to comment on the reports the CIA had weeks ago warned Germany about possible attacks on the Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 pipelines. Quote, I'm not in a position to speak of any intelligence or any intelligence that may have been passed to Germany or any other allies. And then they make reference to Zakharova, asking President Biden, did he follow through with his threat? Now, an insight may be here. Somebody who, my thought was here, he says it much better. I'm going to read it for you, Michael Tracy. And how, again, circumstantially, we look at this thing. It's preposterous the United States can be involved. When it looks like it may be NATO, which is the United States as well. We might be see Poland's involved. We might be see those areas around it. Why would they cut their own throat? But they're going after Germany. It's the biggest economic powerhouse, you see. And this is a shift about energy sourcing. and control, and bringing Europe to its knees. I mean, each individual country, the EU saying it's damaged, is that veneer authority over all of it. But Michael Tracy says this as we look back, who done it? Well, I don't know. We didn't. Again, there's no eyes on it. We have circumstantial evidence. Who would benefit as well? But we know, he says, the United States government, the U.S. government, always told the complete truth about the USS Maine, the RMS Lusitania, the USS Greer, the Gulf of Tonkin, the Rocky Babies and Incubators, WMDs, etc. So there's every reason to believe that they're telling the truth about the Nord Stream pipeline explosion. Ned Price says preposterous. My point on this is to show you these people that are in power at this point are brutal, are just despicable, psychopaths. Again, it's about control of still the energy. There's no peak energy. This is about how you maintain control through energy. You can call it peak. It's just another weapon. You can believe it if you want. There's no peak problem. Russia wants to give them the gas. They don't have a problem with giving the gas, but you're going to do it on their terms, again, by their ruble, and that is completely counter to the United States' desire to alter the supply of gas supplies. They advocate climate change, and yet they went and blew up a pipeline. You didn't hear Biden come up and say, oh, this is a climate change catastrophe. They just dumped tons and tons of carbon in the environment. It was not something you heard from the lips of Biden. You understand how much methane is there that caused this problem that the military, a group of militaries, could care less while they promote climate change, while they promote sustainability, while they promote all this other ESG stuff. Our militaries against the people. Yeah, the government's told us. Well, the USS Liberty, too, comes to mind about all the truth we've been told by the United States government. Preposterous, they said. I mean, in a way, I don't care in my mind who done it. It was done. And there's going to be a nation, at least a nation, that's going to have its people hurt, destroyed maybe, if they don't get it into gear really, really fast. And I want you to understand that that's what goes on. They're using these stalking horse issues to cover that they're targeting you. And you get all warm and fuzzy, you don't respond, and these psychopaths get their way. The military industrial complex gets its way. The health industrial complex gets its way. The insurance industrial complex gets its way. Fascism gets its way. I'm pausing here. I'm just start thinking, folks, there's people in the world in real trouble. You may not feel you're in trouble, but they're creeping up on those of you that think you're not in trouble. But people who are looking with a future and an intention take action. And despite Russia's billion-dollar infrastructure being destroyed, and I'm trying to figure out why don't they replace it? Well, apparently, my primitive little mind didn't realize real quickly they should have. But when they blew that up, seawater went into the inside of those pipes, and there's likely going to be a real difficult thing relative to corrosion and the pipe use again. So it's likely that they cannot ultimately use that pipeline because of that. All that pipe is all wasted. All that, the pressure that they maintain in any system like that got brought into the environment. We could care less the so-called climate damage that's been going on. Don't care. But people of action continue to take action on their plans. So you got to have a plan here. As we see, despite all this, Putin's just going to put his stuff elsewhere is the problem. Europe is going to be dying. Russia, America is causing because of its sanctions. And why? Ultimately, it's not America on its own. It's through the threat of the economic and financial construct. Get you back to your digital IDs and get you back to the trust to the monetary system and your digital dollar. Stop the digital dollar. You better start using cash and make it more prominent. Better start promoting the denying use of cash is racism. Now, Putin's not stopping. Putin's over there in this Ukrainianism, as I keep speaking to you all about these nonsense that we are being told that are important, that are people doing what they need to do for their reasons. We shouldn't have any business in at all. We certainly shouldn't be funding that as well. But they keep blaming Ukraine. The United States has to keep that going, so it's going to keep funding the problem in order to do what? Destroy Germany. Destroy Europe. For the shift of power. There's so much money involved in this energy, they're willing to take this investment, if you will, in here, take a loss in order to eventually get the gain in control. They're destroying people to do so. Putin, though, to give major speech as a party on Ukraine annexation ceremony. If you thought that Russia is not winning over there, that the United States, all the billions going in, isn't going into the nose, maybe, of the leader, and then arms going to elsewhere in the world to fight us elsewhere, to make continue fomenting the wars and rumors of wars. A major speech to Ukraine annexation means Putin and Russia have taken that territory. Almost 18-20% of Ukraine now is going to be annexed. Russia has announced it is holding an annexation ceremony on Friday for the four regions, which just conducted a five-day referendum on whether to join the Russian Federation. It will mark the final move, declaring the territories effective under Kremlin control, and its citizens is now Russian. The international order is saying, whatever order that is, they're saying that they're not going to recognize it. It won't matter. Russia's a country. Those places are annexed. Other countries will recognize. All you need is two in an international law. That is now going to be another bubble. And the chess players that are still playing chess. They took the damage. They're taking the damage on these pipelines. But that's not really what they need to do. That was just going to be augmenting the power to people. I think Putin's been pretty fairly straightforward that. You want the power, we're going to give it to you. You don't want it, we don't need it. We don't need to give it to you. We'll give it somewhere else. But if you thought that the propaganda about Ukraine, United States winning, Ukraine's on is winning, they don't annex territory unless they can defend it as a nation. And so there's tit for tat, give and take, all going on. United States is, again, Russia is the target. Russia's the target of they get blamed for it, and they're moving on still. They're taking action. And they're not worried that their infrastructure is being threatened. They're taking more action. And what you can see is an administrative thing in the world. The United States order dismisses that, doesn't want to recognize it. Under international law, they want to claim it's violated. I don't think that there's any standing for any of them to have a say over what's going on. And if they had a say, they haven't met a say. And if the United States had a power, they wouldn't be spending dollars, you know, just nothing, vapor, over there. No, we see the United States apparently looks like they're involved in not attacking Russia and using Ukraine as an excuse to attack the EU, both. And you folks over in Europe, I'm really having some trouble for you in my mind. I don't know how you escape this thing, and I'm hoping the predictions of the cold winter were wrong. Weaponizing the bureaucracy. Now we're back home, folks. All this is all international bureaucracy going on. Who will protect us from the government's standing army? And this is what our problem at home is. The standing army of NATO, that they deny, it's everything, that we have any involvement. They're all their ships and things are all around the point. They're the ones that hate Russia locally. Poland, that's the main prime player, hates Germany. As a nation-to-nation attack, that was pretty interesting. The infrastructure being attacked was only on the active stuff that they're going to protect, you notice. Oh, the ways that this bureaucracy works in order to justify itself. Then we watch it. We're back in from John Anisha Whitehead. Standing a military force with an overgrown executive will not long be safe companions for liberty, says James Madison. As we come home and the war against us, and he delineates now at this time for us all the ammunition the agencies of government have from the IRS, the Veterans Administration, Department of Health and Human Services, having 4 million rounds of ammunition. This is an old, old story relative to the government. Congress allowing these agencies to have ammunition and the power to use the guns and to come after us in the myriad ways to eat us out. And we sit as crickets against it. The EPA itself given 600 guns, and the Smithsonian now owns 620 armed special agents. Smithsonian. What's going on in this country that the veterans, the people that took oaths to defend us against foreign and domestic enemies, don't see the foreign and domestic enemies in our land right now? Is the people in politics, where we have a right, it said, to alter and abolish the maladministration that's causing our destruction. All these agencies, as Dwight Hess says, forms a de facto standing army, is made up of weaponized, militarized civilian forces which look and dress like and act like the military, armed with guns, ammunition, and military-style equipment, or are authorized to make arrests and are trained in military tactics. I'm going to extend that. You knows them when you see them. Lieber Code, wartime policy says when they act like a military, they go by military time, they have military hierarchies, they use military uniforms. Maybe they're the military and not your local police, your local sheriff, folks. De facto. Interesting. What are we letting up around us? And to me, this is just the reflection of what's going on across the pond, if you will. Preposterous, folks, that this could be happening in our own land. Preposterous. And let's remember what Michael Tracy's reminding us about, the fact of all that truth-telling that was done. It certainly can't be that my government's lying to us, not its own people. But we have to look outside to see some of the truth for us. Why I go over and say the carnival mirror of Europe and in the Middle East is telling us something that's going on in this country, the United States, and in anybody, in Kanukistan and all these other places. Various agendas running. And then there you can see the connection. You see the destruction of the agendas and then the fact that they don't matter as stalking horses in order to get you to believe there's a justification for all this. Well, governments destroyed other governments and, more importantly, the people. The U.S. war on drugs isn't what it seems. Colombia's new president wants to end it. Leftist Gustavo Petro was inaugurated on Colombia's new president August 7th, ushering in what will likely be an unprecedented political swing for what is perennially right-wing government. In his first address, Petro mentioned about many important issues that face Colombia, including the climate change, poverty, education, and notably the so-called war on drugs. Find it interesting, he outs the war on drugs, but he doesn't out climate change. So there's an anomaly in the guy, but he does out the war on drugs. And this is the thing that's been hurting us as a nation of the United States. Petro added that this war has strengthened the mafias and weakened the states, while leading states to commit crimes, including the Colombian state. He called for a new paradigm that allows life and doesn't generate death. Well, he's going to be in conflict with the death squads that are called health systems in America, isn't he? He called for the new paradigm while also putting blame on the United States for having the ability to change global anti-drug policy, but failing to do so. There it is. There's the disconnect. You call for something, but you don't fulfill it. It's the hallmark of these folks that use stalking horses to come and destroy us. And they come under very numerous names, climate change, digital dollar, whatever you want to call it, pandemic. All the foreign players that are involved shows you this is you know them when you see them, folks. You know them by their deeds. They're too integrated. Even though they seem distant, they're integrated. And eventually, they implement the policies of financial policymakers. The head of the premier of which, having almost absolute sovereignty and immunity, says, I want to know what you're spending your last dime. So we're going to be instituting these systems, these technocratic terrors upon the societies around the world. DOJ charges officers for no-knock warrant lies that led to a killing of Breonna Taylor. We may have a check and balance here as I move into the home stretch. To say that there are a few things that there are more dangerous to citizens and cops than no-knock warrants. These warrants allow cops to raid houses without announcing themselves, leading those on the receiving end to assume they're being invaded by armed criminals. people that who don't know, they're dealing with the cops defend themselves, cops who believe everyone should know their cops despite being allowed to enter unannounced, respond violently. People die. Let me end there. You can read more of this. People die. People are dying on this no-knock. Well, it's becoming so embarrassing now. I'm hoping maybe that other case that you can't go after a mobility scooter woman and the whole system fails her. Maybe this is reflecting a little bit that maybe you can use to help you move forward that the DOJ charges an officer for doing that. And this causes trouble. And they're doing, now we get back more to that idea I was telling you about here a few weeks ago, in a few last weeks, about false imprisonment, how easy that's brought, and maybe that's going to start moving this into that direction, as we also see how minimal it takes these no-knocks. The residents with locking doors and working toilets is all that's needed to justify a no-knock warrant. Maybe some of you who are sensitive to this thing step in and start, as I told you, raise those policies up that you can go in and talk to somebody. But listen, we have a real problem. This has got to stop. You have now a DOJ that comes and said that what they did in that case was wrong. You have a court in Oregon saying the cops to the attorney general wrong against going after some woman in a mobility scooter. Well, why we have people that allow that in our society really is a shocking thing to me. That it took a court to go through, an appellate court no less, to go through that. Maybe isn't some incentive to show, hey, we've got to really, we have to return to a more sane place. It's not actually working the way it's been gone. The judiciary is not actually checking us, even though we know, we now see they have a sui sponte power to do so. On their own motion, judges charged with implementing the law do start implementing the law, first instance. There is a check and balance somewhere here. Where is it? And are we going to step up to help to protect ourselves? Or are we going to allow ourselves to be like the Germans in the hot war they find themselves in? Maybe freezing to death, starving to death this winter. I don't know, folks. But I see people starving to death and freezing to death, and, well, we get to live in cardboard boxes without fire in the United States. So don't think we're too far removed. And I hope you're not thinking you're too far removed as they start to really adjust this economy down and take away that stuff, and in particular where they start implementing any kind of requirement to be into a digital system. And about what about that digital system? Real quickly, wide range of routers are under attack by new, unusually sophisticated malware. An unusually advanced hacking group has spent almost 2 years infecting wide range of routers in North America and Europe with malware that takes control of connected devices running Windows, Mac OS, and Linux, the researchers reported on Tuesday. And this ultimately goes down and explains some of the ASUS routers are involved. But let me go through, and not, so we don't have no fear porn, but this is a failure. This is a malware attack. It may not matter when all in Europe when all the power goes out and all your cell phones die, but you can simply fix this by, in one regard, there's another hesitation I say, but you fix this by just resetting your router. The routers only work inside, these malwares work inside a temporary memory. But they infect total systems to gain control of your future digital life. It's why I'm saying, go to CAT. Don't become tied in with this. Reject the digital system. Make sure that you're not a part of it. It's going to take a little bit of effort. And then go attack these people that are attacking us and ruining our lives and destroying us. Hope something I said was helpful today. Hope it gives you some inspiration to focus in on something. Just one thing. Don't have to do the whole world. Don't get overwhelmed by the whole world as well if you can. And I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs or Nature Willing.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.